Good evening. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on is just absolutely too incredible. I can't believe that the United States of America, the country that I've always loved, is engaged in such absolute barbaric nonsense. We have committed an act of war. We're engaged in waging war upon a third world sovereign nation with no provocation whatsoever, none of our business, and lying. I've never heard so many lies in my entire life. For instance, refugees were not streaming across the border before this happened. And they say that the NATO strikes are not the cause of it. They are the cause of it. Whether it's caused Milosevic to institute a program that he had not instituted previously in order to wreak havoc, or whether these refugees are fleeing the bombing, and the bombs are falling everywhere. Believe me, folks, if NATO was bombing the state of Arizona, I would get my family across the border, away from here. And it wouldn't be because of any ethnic cleansing or anything else. I would get them away because nobody knows where the bombs are going to fall. Not even the people who launched the bombs. And if you think that every bomb and every missile that's dropped or launched hits its target that it's supposed to hit, then you better jump down that hole again and follow the white rabbit until you find your brain, because it's lost. I fought in a war. Most of the weapons that are fired, are launched, are dropped by any method, by any means, by anybody, never get near the target they're intended to hit. And so I imagine the Yugoslavian officials are telling the truth when they are telling us that a lot of civilian casualties are occurring. Anybody who's been in war knows this. And anybody who's been in war and tells you otherwise is a liar. And I'll call him a liar right to his face. I fought in Vietnam. I also saw the statistics from Desert Storm. The statistics from Desert Storm were no different than Vietnam. No different whatsoever. 70% of all munitions dropped or launched did not hit the target they were intended to hit. 70%. And that's what's going on in Kosovo and Yugoslavia now. You can count on it. Of course, the only ones they're going to show you are just like they did in Desert Storm. They're going to show you some bomb going in a window, the exact window that they aimed for, or down a chimney. Bullshit. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, in war, if you hit your target, you're lucky. You're lucky. 70% of all munitions expended in any war do not hit the target they were intended to hit. Unless it's something like saturation bombing over a city. In which case, if the bomb hit anything within the city limits, then it's counted as hitting its target. And that's the only time that that kind of a thing happens. This just makes me sick. Absolutely sick at heart. People are protesting everywhere. The news is not covering it. They're covering like a protest in Moscow or a protest in Macedonia. They're not covering any of the protests that are happening here in the United States of America, Great Britain, Australia, Greece. None of these places are being covered. They're not showing you these massive protests where people are burning the United States flag. All over the world, all over the United States of America. It makes me sick. What we're doing has made me so sick, I took my flag down and brought it in. I can't fly it. I'm not proud of this country. I'm not proud of anybody in Washington, D.C., and I'm certainly not proud of the military commanders who are violating their oath. See, there's a lot more to that oath and to being an officer in the military forces of the United States of America than obeying orders. That's what Hitler's Nazi SS troops did. They obeyed orders. Was not a defense at Nuremberg. Also, I've made an awful lot of telephone calls, ladies and gentlemen, and I've been on the internet for several days now, and I've been communicating with people in Yugoslavia, in Kosovo, in Macedonia, in Greece, in Turkey, all through that region, even in Moscow. I've been communicating with people. And what they tell me is not what I'm hearing on CNN. I'm not hearing from them what CNN is telling us. I'm not hearing that there's 100,000 refugees or that 4,000 refugees an hour are coming across the Albanian border. I'm hearing that there are refugees and that they are fleeing the bombs. And that some who have very close ties to the Kosovo Liberation Army are spreading propaganda stories of mass genocide, none of which has been proven. And I'm not saying it's not occurring. The Serbs at this point might be so exasperated and so desperate that they may be doing some of that. But I suspect that if they are, they're doing it to the KLA rebels and those who support them. Make sure you understand what I said. If they're doing it, I suspect very strongly that they're doing it to the KLA rebels and those who support them. And don't tell me they can't do it. In war, all's fair. You can make all the rules you want in wartime. I know. I've been there. I'm going to tell you right now, when somebody's trying to kill you, you do whatever you can to survive, and you kill as many of them first in order that you can survive. Remember, this is the first time in the history of the United States of America that we support a rebellion against the lawful government to succeed and form an ethnic state. You see, they talk about all this ethnic cleansing stuff. What do you think the Kosovan Albanians are doing? They want to secede from Greater Yugoslavia. They want to have their own state. And guess who it's for? Only Albanian Muslims. They don't want any Serbs in that state. They don't want anybody else in that state. Only Albanian Muslims. Why else do you think they want to succeed? Why do you think the KLA is made up only of Albanian Muslims? So don't blame this all on Milosevic. You're being lied to on a major scale. And the people who are being supported are those who will embrace the New World Order with open arms. This from the Orlando Sentinel. The Orlando Sentinel, that's a newspaper. It's written by Charlie Reese of the Sentinel staff. Communist Manifesto in America. Marx would be pleased. If old Karl Marx, the embittered inventor of communism, could return from the grave, he would no doubt be surprised to find that most of the 10 planks of his Communist Manifesto, issued in 1848 in collaboration with Friedrich Engels, have been happily adopted or are at least supported by Americans. Let's look at the 10 planks. Abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. Well, we're working on this one. The federal government owns huge amounts of land and is acquiring more. Private property rights are being eroded deliberately in the name of protecting the environment. 2. A heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. Need I say more? Before Ronald Reagan's tax law changes, we had exactly that. Many Americans support the idea of taxing the rich more than the less rich. Number three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. We haven't gone all the way on that one, but heavy estate taxes are a step in that direction. Estate taxes are purely punitive because they are taxes levied on assets on which multiple taxes have already been paid many times. Four, confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels. Well, now listen to this, folks. Four, confiscation of the property of immigrants and rebels. Well, our forefathers confiscated the property of those who supported the British during the Revolution. And under the Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act and other civil statutes, property is being confiscated right and left in the name of the war on drugs. Five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state. Pretty much done. See the Federal Reserve Act. Six, centralization of the means of communications and transport in the hands of the state. See a private road or bridge lately? Who licenses all radio and television? Only the First Amendment saves the print press from federal licensing, but I suspect that hate speech laws will soon follow hate crime laws, and that will erode that freedom. Seven, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state. Well, the government runs many businesses, and some folks would like to see it run more. Eight, equal obligation to work, establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. We've escaped this one, mainly, in my opinion, because of the Second Amendment, the right to own firearms and mechanization. Nine, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of distinction between town and country, pretty much done because big corporations dominate what's left of agriculture and mass communications have more or less erased cultural differences. 10. Free education of all children in public schools, abolition of child factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. Done. Done. Done deal. Now, you must understand that what communism was driving toward was not economic nirvana for the people. That was the advertising, but total power in the hands of the state. Note, for example, the manifesto does not advocate education for children per se, but education in public schools, where, of course, that can be under the control of and indoctrinated by the state. The hatred for property and for farmers was based on the knowledge that people who are economically independent of the state can assert their political freedom from state control. You see, communism is just another form of slavery in which the slave is provided work, housing, food, education, medical care, and retirement, but at the price of freedom. You can see Americans advocating the very same system today, and most of them, because of their poor education in government schools, don't have the foggiest notion that they are advocating Marxist ideas. In fact, they're so brainwashed that they believe to be a Marxist is to be a socialist, and a socialist is somehow immune from communism, when in fact socialism was created by Marx and Engels and further engineered by Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, in order to bring on the ultimate goal, and that is a world ruled by communism. You see, Marx and Engels invented communism. Lenin said democracy is indispensable to socialism. Marx said democracy is the road to socialism. And both wrote that the end result of any socialist system is communism. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you now, for the rest of this broadcast, a tape called Reichstag 95, created by my friend Anthony J. Hilder. In it, you will hear Anthony J. Hilder, former FBI chief of station of Memphis, Los Angeles, and Dallas, Texas, three of the major FBI offices in the nation, Ted Gunderson, and myself, William Cooper. So please pay close attention. You might even learn something. Thank you.
Satan. Was wäre seine besten Blutes fühlen und dieses Wissen zur Führung der Nation erhoben und entschlossen ist, diese Führung zu behalten, wahrzunehmen und nicht erst abzunehmen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to interrupt because I just received a phone call. I've been waiting for it all day. I have had indications all day long that we will be putting ground troops, combat troops, into Yugoslavia, not as peacekeeping troops, but as combat troops to conquer that nation. And I've just been waiting for confirmation. I just received it by telephone just a few seconds ago. And I just hung up a few seconds ago, that is. And I've been told by a highly placed member of the intelligence community that not only is there a contingency plan to put combat troops into Yugoslavia, but we absolutely will be doing it. And in the next few days, they will be preparing the American public for that eventuality. Very sorry to have to tell you that. You can label that as something that's absolutely going to happen.
Seen the horrors of socialism. We've seen the results of what happened in Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, when the transference of power went from the people to the press.
Thank you.
immer eine Gleichmäßigkeit der politischen Intentionen im Reich und in den Ländern gewährleisten. Es ist Sache des Reichstags, nun wird seinerseits eine klare Stellung einzunehmen. Am Schicksal des Kommunismus und der sich mit ihm verbrüdenden anderen Organisationen ändert dies nichts.
It is time we all stood up and spoke against that kind of reckless speech and behavior.
What Clinton said is almost word for word what Hitler said.
In an exclusive interview with the CBS show 60 Minutes, President Clinton talked about his plan to give the government more power to fight terrorism.
Take a good hard look at the NATO four-pointed star, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very cleverly concealed swastika. I repeat, it is a very cleverly concealed swastika. Ask the Branch Davidians, who's killing who?
Progress which has been made in the last couple of years, not just here in Washington with the crime bill, the assault weapons ban, and the Brady Law, but on your streets.
Hitler said the same thing.
The strong, stiff stench of fascism fills the air. It offends my senses. The New World odor has a certain smell about it, the smell of death. Today we're going to be talking about the American Holocaust, the second in the Clinton administration, with a man who has had 27 and a half years of experience in the FBI, a man that has been head of the Bureau in Los Angeles, in Dallas, in Memphis, a man that F. Lee Bailey says is one of the most, if not the most, spectacular investigator in the United States of America, Ted Gunderson. Ted, let's take a look at what has occurred in the Oklahoma atrocity. This is the second American Holocaust that's been committed under the Clinton administration. Is this something that occurred as a result of talk show hosts like myself inspiring some crazies to get out there and take out a federal building, or is this not in fact something that was set up for the purpose of frightening the population of this nation into surrendering our rights for a new world order?
I have to say, in all honesty, in all sincerity, there's no question in my mind, and this is my opinion, that an incident happened, it was planned, and the purpose of that was to enrage the American public, and two, to make sure and force Congress to pass anti-terrorism legislation, which we do not need, but which at the same time would imperil our civil liberties and further erode our civil rights and help destroy what we believe in our Constitution.
Let's go back in time to Nazi Germany, the year 1933. The Reichstag was burnt. Hitler blamed it on the opposition. And then afterwards, he called for a surrender of the rights held by the people to the president. I think it was Rudolf Hess who said, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer. One world, one race, one ruler. Is this not, in fact, the same scenario that we are looking at today in 1995?
It certainly appears to be. I feel that this has all been set up, and I think they built up to it. For example, I recall Donahue had a show with the militants on there, and they wore their uniforms, and he kind of ridiculed them. This was back in January. Mm-hmm. And there have been other incidents in the media and the talk TV, mainly TV talk shows, where there was an attempt and has been effectively discredited the militia. So there's no question that what's happened here is after the fact, after the bombing, the attack by the president and by the government was directed at the militia, who did not have and could not under any circumstances had access to such a sophisticated bomb, which we will discuss in a few minutes. And also, the attack was at the talk show hosts, radio talk show hosts.
Well, in other words, the attack was at any and all opposition to the president and those politicals who would surrender our sovereignty to a new world order and establish a global government upon the ashes of American sovereignty.
No question about it. The talk show hosts are the ones who are getting the news, the facts, the truth to the American people. It's not the mainstream media, the three major networks, or the other networks either. The talk show hosts are the ones that are saying, hey, this is going on in America. You people better listen, because if you don't, you're in big trouble. Actually, we're in big trouble already. And I feel the last election where we had a number of incumbents who were voted out of office, I think the talk show hosts had more to do with that than any other single segment in our society.
Well, a friend of mine, Larry Nichols, has come out with the Clinton Chronicles, exposing the President of the United States for all of the treachery, and I say treason, that he has committed. I would like to see the President of the United States serve out the rest of his term in the big house, not the White House. The Watergate incident was nothing compared to this. This is an attack upon the citizenry of America, but not just those who were in the building. The war has been declared upon the people of the United States of America.
There's no question about it. This is probably the crime of the century, the crime of the last 200 years for our country, certainly. And it's very obvious to me, based on my investigation, the work that I've done, that McVeigh and John Doe, too, were only a part of this plot. And as a matter of fact,
that's Lee Harvey McVeigh?
Yes. Well, that's...
Well,
sorry, you're talking about the Kennedy assassination?
Yes, but isn't it...
I'm talking about the bombing.
I know, but isn't the...
Well, I see what you're saying,
it's the same scenario. I mean, we're talking about...
Lee Harvey McVeigh, I got
the fall guy. I mean,
right,
the guy that's supposed to get caught.
Right.
Now, you've had the experience in talking to individuals who have been deprogrammed from Project Monarch. This is a sleeper agent program where I'm talking about the CIA, has developed Manchurian-type candidates. Do you see the players in this as being part of that program?
I see this as a strong possibility. Now, Lee Harvey McVeigh, mm-hmm. as you call him,
yeah.
okay, has said that he has an implant in his buttocks. He's also made the statement that he's a political prisoner. He was arrested by the Oklahoma Highway Patrol 90 minutes after the bombing, and he was incarcerated, of course, for some, I think, 2 or 3 days. And during that period, the FBI put out an artist conception of John Doe 1 and John Doe 2, John Doe 1 being Lee Harvey McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
And but before that, they put out, the government put out the word to be alert for two Middle Eastern-like looking individuals in a blue pickup truck. I theorize, and this is strictly a theory, that the disinformation on the Middle Easterners was put out. McVeigh was supposed to have made a rendezvous afterwards. The beautiful highway patrolman from Oklahoma interrupted the plan, threw a monkey wrench in the machinery, arrested him. Then they had to come up with a plan. Well, okay, now we've got this fellow in jail. What do we do now? Then they came up with the artist conception. And then they say, oh, after all, he is in jail now. Aren't we fortunate that the highway patrol recognized him? You see what I'm saying?
Now, if McVeigh was involved, and if he was smart enough to put together a bomb that would take out half of that building, and he was some sort of mad solo bomber or even working with a group of other people, he would certainly have been smart enough to drive a car that had a license plate on it. And if he was stopped by the police, and after having done such a heinous crime, and he had a gun there, when the cop came up, he would have simply blown him away and driven off down the road. That makes sense. But what the government is trying to tell us, what the media is trying to tell us, makes no sense. It is nonsense. It is absolute absurdity in my mind.
Well, as you recall from watching the news, there was supposed to have been, I think, a light tan pickup truck that stopped in front of McVeigh when he was arrested by the Highway Patrol. There was supposed to have been a helicopter in the area at the time. They went on, and the officials are supposedly looking for the light tan pickup truck now. In fact, they may have some pictures of it, or they have a video camera on the Highway Patrol car, and they're trying to identify the license plate on it. I don't know if they've done anything about that or not. But the bottom line in this whole case is you can't believe anything that the government has put out, because I feel adequate documentation that it was a barometric bomb and not a fertilizer bomb, and we'll go into more detail on that later.
Would you explain this? Because in our first conversation, you were talking about a double explosion. The media hasn't talked about it. Time magazine hasn't talked about it. Newsweek, the Washington Post, the LA Times, the New York Times, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, they've mentioned not a single solitary word. Nothing. Nothing. And yet, you have evidence that would support that. Do you want to tell us about it?
Well, of course. What happened was I received a fax, a routine matter to me, that from the University of Oklahoma Department of Geology. And this fact showed that there were two ground disturbances. One was at 9.02 a.m. and 13 seconds on the 19th of April. The second one was at 9.02 a.m. and 23 seconds, 10 seconds apart. I looked at that, and I thought to myself, and also I received information, of course, as to what that meant. And to make sure, I called the University of Oklahoma, Dr. Ken Luza. And I asked the doctor himself, I said, I'm looking at this seismogram. Would you interpret this for me? And he said, well, those two ground disturbances were ground waves, and there were two incidents that occurred in Oklahoma City on that time, at that time, on that date. And I said, what does that mean to you? Would you tell me what that means? He said, that's an indication that there were two detonations, not one.
And you talked to who?
Dr. Ken Luza.
Ken Luza at the University of Oklahoma.
Department of Geology.
Department of Geology. So, having two separate explosions, does this indicate that it is the signature not of ammonium nitrate bomb, but of another device?
Absolutely. With that information, I made some phone calls around to my various sources and contacts. And, in fact, the first phone call I made was to the person who I thought would know more about this situation than anybody as far as the bomb is concerned. A scientist who I have known for years, as a matter of fact. And I asked him, I said, let me describe the seismogram to you, what happened. As soon as I told him about that and the 10-second delay, he said, quote, that's my bomb, end quote.
Meaning that's his bomb.
He developed it.
He developed the bomb.
Yes, huh?
So a man that claims credit for developing the bomb says it's his bomb, and if it's his bomb, then it would... He certainly didn't sell this bomb to individuals off the street or McVeigh's or the militia or somebody like that. He had to sell it to whom?
Well, I can say this. I can't get into details on that, but I can tell you this, that the government had access to this bomb. He told me that the government had access to this bomb.
Well, who else would use it but the government, right?
Of course.
So in other words, what you're saying or implying is that this is a government bomb.
Well, he told me that it's so complicated that you need a circuit board to detonate it. It's like setting off a nuclear explosion. It's not a fertilizer bomb, a 4,800-pound fertilizer bomb. And I think it's rather amusing, not amusing because of the tragedy involved here, but we have to go back and look at what the government put out. First of all, they said a car bomb with a thousand pounds of fertilizer.
Well, wait a minute. Let me stop you right here for 1 second. You said it was a car bomb with 1,000 pounds of fertilizer.
Fertilizer bomb, yeah.
Yes, a fertilizer bomb. But, I mean, they said that a couple hours after the
almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But if they said that almost immediately, within 90 minutes, that would be almost immediately, wouldn't it? Within 90 minutes, they had ID'd the individual Lee Harvey McVeigh, right? They had ID'd him from the axle, the rear axle or the differential of the car that this that blew up and sent this thing off the two blocks, right?
Something like that.
I mean, that's what they said. Sure. They said it was a car.
That's what they said at first.
But if it really didn't come from the car, then they couldn't have placed it to the car and couldn't have attached him to it. So that's a lie.
Well, they said, first they said it was a car, then a pickup truck, a panel truck, and a 24-foot Ryder rental truck. But the weight of the bomb began at 1,000, then I think it was 1,100, then it was 2,000, 2,500. And now it's up to 4,800 pounds.
Now, let's review that for the audience. Now, the government first said that it was a car bomb, and it had 1,000 pounds, and it was 1,100 pounds, and they said it was a pickup truck with 1,500 pounds or 2,000 pounds, and 2,500. Then they said it was a panel truck, and they said it was this fertilizer bomb was a Ryder truck. I mean, this wasn't a fertilizer bomb. The government's case, well, it's BS. This is a BS bomb, and it's a political bomb, and it's been dropped upon the population, not only of this country, but of the planet, because these people are going for global government. In my opinion, I see this as being engineered by the CIA, the ISA, or somebody like that. Certainly not a bunch of people who are making little bottle bombs in their backyard and having fun like kids in the 4th of July.
Well, if they were going to set this up, and they did a nice job of setting it up, you're going to take somebody like McVeigh and John Doe, too. You're going to have them setting off small explosives in a yard, make sure the neighbors know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have them attend a militant meeting because, after all, that's one of the targets.
Or they set them up like that.
They set him up.
Prepare the credentials.
Right.
Right.
To prepare the credentials, to give them the background, the basis for everybody to go after the militants, and to say that McVeigh was a militant and John Doe, too, obviously a militant. Now, they say, they first came out, they said John Doe 2 and John Doe 1 were AWOL soldiers. Now, if they were AWOL soldiers and McVeigh has now been identified, that means that they must know the identity of John Doe 2. Now, they said this right almost from the beginning. Now, bear in mind that if they know that these people were AWOL soldiers, you know that they know the identity of John Doe, too.
Well, if they knew the identity of John Doe, too, why didn't they publicize it? Why didn't they let the world know so that the people in the United States could trace down John Doe, too? Unless, of course, John Doe, too, was an agent that they have terminated.
Well, they apparently don't want the people to know who John Doe, too, is. Now, if I was trying to locate somebody, I'd put out an all-points bulletin to all law enforcement throughout the country. I'd give his picture to the news media, and I print it.
Now, you were in the FBI, again, for 27 and a half years. You were head of the FBI in Los Angeles. I was taking a look at a Soldier of Fortune. This is not exactly the best. This came from a Xerox, but this is the June issue. And I see an individual here, and they say Robert Rodriguez, undercover ATF agent who tried to get the bosses to call off the ill-conceived raid, they're talking about Waco, was made the scapegoat. He's now the first agent to ever sue the BATF. And then they have another fellow right in front of him who looks strangely like Lee Harvey McVeigh. Is it possible that we're really talking about sleeper agents here? I mean, sleeper agents, people that have been programmed We know that the government has lied to us before. We know that the President of the United States lied to us when he said that he was unaware that the Japanese were coming across the entire Pacific to bomb Pearl Harbor because the Purple Code was broken. He knew about that. The U.S. Congress would not, you know, get into war with Germany. He had to create an incident. So he took the entire U.S. fleet at Pearl Harbor, moved them out, I mean at San Diego, to move them out to Pearl Harbor. He had all of the ships tied together. He could have picked up the phone and talked to Admiral Kimmel or General Short and let them know that Admiral Yamamoto was coming across the Pacific. He did not do that. This was deliberate. It was by design and done with malice aforethought and resulted in the mass murder of 50 million human beings and created, this whole thing created World War II.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Now, the President of the United States knew about that. There's many books on it. But would the President now, in order to continue this program, do such a thing so that he would retain his position as President of the United States to cover up the Whitewater hearings, to ensure that he would be the individual in charge to bring us into a new world order?
Well, it certainly looks like we're heading in that direction. I mean, I think there's no question in my mind. There's an evil element in our society, in our system also, including the government, that want this power and that want to take over our government. Everything points in that direction. You look at the BCCI, you look at Iran-Contra, look at the House Rule 666, which was recently passed by the House, which will allow law enforcement officers to come in and search your house without a search warrant. Look at the Omnibus Crime Bill, which allows the federal government to do indiscriminate wiretapping of whole neighborhoods at a time.
Well, you were in the FBI. This would have been outrageous to you, I mean, to even consider this when J. Edgar Hoover was in charge.
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a meeting between Nixon and some of the top government people when President Nixon was president. And the CIA was there, J. Edgar Hoover was there, and they wanted to do this very thing, and everyone agreed except J. Edgar Hoover. He says, no, it's be a violation of people's civil rights. And he was the one person that stopped that from happening during Nixon's administration.
Now, there has been legislation introduced immediately after this to give the president the power to decide who, and that could be you, who is a terrorist or who has... who is a threat to the government of the United States. The Second Amendment of the Constitution was laid out so we would have a militia to keep the government in check. If ever the government got out of control, the militia would come in to squelch their authoritarian control, because this is supposed to be a nation that is controlled by the people rather than a people controlled by the government. So I say, ask what your government can do for you, not what you can do for your government, because your government should be your servant, and we the people must be the masters. When Kennedy said, made that statement about ask not what your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country, that wasn't an original statement.
No.
It was not an original statement by Kennedy. Oh, who said that? Adolf Hitler. And this is what we face today. I think if you liked Hitler, you're going to love Clinton. If he gets away with this, I mean, all hell is going to break loose. I mean, we will literally have a living hell.
Well, they're building 80 new prisons around the country right now. There was an article in the Oklahoma City newspaper last June asking for applicants to apply for a new prison being built near the Oklahoma City Airport. This is going to be a transfer point, and it will house 1,400 prisoners for a maximum of 10 days. And figure that out. Projected that would be over 55,000 people a year just coming and going. Plus, they're building 80 more new prisons. Now, who are they going to put in these prisons? This is a lot of prisons.
Well, I mean, you take a look at the black population. They passed that three strikes law. You go down into South Central Los Angeles, and we have 70% of young black men, 18 to 25, that are either in jail, just getting out of jail, ready to go in jail, selling drugs, doing drugs, or they're unemployed. 70%. I mean, this is massive. And then these political pimps and prostitutes along the Potomac decide they're going to sell NAFTA to us, which is the SHAFTA. NAFTA is the SHAFTA. And ship our jobs, export our jobs south of the border and import slave labor product from communist China, and they get most favored nation status. I mean, this is insanity. What it causes is an exacerbation of the problem, an escalation of the problem, and we have a crisis creation, and it's got to be by design. It's got to be by design. Do you feel that the those who control this government have been involved in the importation of, say, heroin and cocaine and drugs?
This goes back to the 60s. During the Vietnam War, it's a known fact that drugs were being flown in from Southeast Asia in military airplanes. They were placing drugs in plastic bags in the body cavities of the dead GIs and flying them into bases all over the United States. This is documented in a Time magazine article, January 1, 1973. There's no question about it. I've talked to servicemen who are aware of this, Air America. Now, there was a movie that came out about Air America being involved in drugs, Air America being a CIA operation. So they've dropped that name. Now they're shipping them in from a new airline out of Florida, but it's still a CIA front.
Yeah. I've got the book, The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia. Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz came back after talking to General Khun Sa in the Golden Triangle, and he had asked him, who is the major buyer of this stuff? I mean, and he said, why, your government. He said, well, what do you mean? Your government, our government, buying heroin? I mean, are the CIA buying heroin? I mean, he couldn't believe it. And eventually he went back, and Khun Sa opened up the files for him and said, yes. They said, Richard Armitage, Assistant Secretary of Defense, appointed by Ronald Reagan, a good friend, close friend, and confidant of George Bush, who claimed to be the number one importer of heroin into the United States for the Central Intelligence Agency. So by spreading this poison, this disease, in the major urban areas, especially in the black and the Latino communities, they create this massive problem, because it's not black guys and Chicanos who are going down to Colombia or going out to Southeast Asia and importing this. They bring it in to create the problem and then offer the solution. The solution is always worse than the problem they created. It's ordo ad caelo. Control out of crisis. In this particular scenario, the one that we're taking a look at right now, we see the major media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, the New York Times, the LA Times, all coming out with this poison. And I'm going to the magazines, and I just take a look at the recent Time magazine. Here they have The Right Hand of God. Meet Ralph Reed, 33. His Christian coalition is on the crusade to take over U.S. politics, and it's working. Now, you notice in this particular picture, it's in black and white. And the way they have this photograph, one would take, if you take a very close look, you just put a little thumb over here, and it looks like the son of Adolf Hitler with the mustache, little mustache underneath. And this picture is either a phony, in my mind, or it was taken on a planet that had a dual solar system, because you see the shadows from up above here and going below his hairline and making it look like that swoop of hair that Hitler had. And then you see underneath his eyes, it's light. So there was a light in front of him that lit his eyes. That would have eliminated the shadow underneath his nose. And you're taking a look at it, and I know you're smiling, right? And I know that all of you are taking a look at it. Why would they do this in black and white if not, in fact, all of the pictures, or most all of the pictures of Adolf Hitler is in black and white? And if you go into the text, they turn and twist the truth so it makes it look like he is involved in some sort of militant neo-Nazi activity. What do you think about this picture, Ted?
Obviously, there's no question about it. I mean, this is a phony. It's not a real picture. Like you said, it's in black and white. It's not in color. And it's very obvious that the lights have been changed and angled in such a manner so that he does look like Adolf Hitler. I'm surprised they didn't just put a mustache on him just for kicks.
But it's deliberate and by design. Now, Time magazine was created by Luce, a member of the Skull and Bones. It's the Brotherhood of Death, that Faustian financial fraternity over at Yale University, where the fellows lay nude in the coffin. They're born again into a satanic order. Do you see any Satanism? I'm talking about raw, unadulterated Satanism in government or any individuals who would practice this Luciferian theology in positions of power today.
I've talked to many people in the last 15 years. Adult survivors, meaning somebody who's born into the satanic movement and their grandfather, grandmother, mother and father were in it, or trying to get out. I've talked to ritual abuse survivors. Usually that involves the people involved in the practice of Satanism. I've talked to hundreds of these people across the nation. And there's no question but that the satanic movement, which has been with us for 2,000 years and was really well organized, I'd say, back in 1776 when the Illuminati was really founded and became active, there's no question that they've been working at this for years. And I had one woman tell me, whose father was in the military, that the U.S. Army is Satan's army. And I have information, documentation, that these people, this element in our society, has infiltrated virtually every level. Doctors, lawyers, politicians, oh, by all means politicians. And I can tell you a little bit about that, too, go into more detail. The government, law enforcement, judges, right up and down the line. I know of counties where I've been told that they totally control the whole system in these counties. Usually they're in small rural counties, by the way, because it's difficult, say, to control a county the size of
the
state.
Is it the Franklin Papers? The
Franklin Cover-Up.
The Franklin Cover-Up. Now, this is took place in Nebraska, was it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you were involved in the expose of much of these.
Yeah.
28 years ago, I produced the Illuminati CFR records here. And this talked about an organization of evil, an oligarchy of evil, operating from 58 East 68th Street in New York City called the Council on Foreign Relations. We claimed, Myron Fagan and myself, who did the narration, that this organization does, in fact, control American politics and is set out to demolish this constitutional republic and establish a new world order upon the ashes of American sovereignty. And they created World War II, or put the everything in gear to create World War II, so that at the close they could introduce the United Nations. And of course, Alger Hiss, first Secretary General of the United Nations Organizational Conference in 1945, put together the charter. He was from the Council on Foreign Relations. Nixon, who supposedly exposed him, and he was not the first individual to do so, but he took credit for that, was escalated to a position of power, and then eventually vice president and president of the United States. I see this whole Hegelian thing in process, the Democrats and the Republicans, sort of like the sharks and dragons
in New York. But the guy who's in the driver's seat is manipulating them just like they have puppets on a string. It's a political play. It's a play. And the CIA is simply the enforcement arm of the CFR. Now, you have some more information that just came to you on the wire this afternoon before you came into the studio.
Yes, I received the facts this afternoon on the bombing. Mm-hmm. And I do not know if this is accurate or if it's been documented, but I will review it with you. And this was on a talk show. The host was Mark Boswell. And it's 12 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on April the 29th. So this was several days ago. Shortwave channel 12.160, satellite galaxy 6. And on the show, Boswell interviewed a 28-year CIA veteran named James Black and his assistant named Ron Jackson regarding sworn affidavits now in their possession, supposedly sworn by two Justice Department officials, which state that they were part of a committee of 10 who planned the Oklahoma bombings. The officials have retained these two CIA, ex-CIA officials, not ex, but they're CIA veterans, have retained a prominent East Coast attorney, and they and their families are now in hiding. This is what the talk show host said. Mm-hmm. Their affidavits have reportedly been delivered to a prominent government official who will be asked to launch a proper investigation. Now, that's interesting. That show was April 29th, and here we are well into May, and we haven't heard anything
about it. The LA Times doesn't say anything about it. In fact, when the LA Times made reference to you, they just said you were an FBI agent. They didn't say you were the man in charge of the FBI here in the city of Los Angeles. They didn't say you were the man in charge of the FBI in Dallas or in Memphis. They didn't say you were assistant director in Hartford, Connecticut. They forgot to mention those things. They also forgot to mention your quote. They also forgot to mention the material that that you had.
Well,
they don't want this story to come out.
You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. We're listening to a pre-recorded tape entitled Reichstag 95, produced by Anthony J. Hilder, very good friend of mine. In the tape, you'll hear Anthony J. Hilder, FBI Chief of Station for Los Angeles, Memphis, and Dallas, Texas, Memphis, Tennessee, and Dallas, Texas, and yours truly, William Cooper.
Now, there's two detonations. We can go beyond it. First of all, talking about the LA Times, in that article that they had about me, it was just yesterday, as a matter of fact, they said that I was a self-professed expert on Satanism. Well, I've never said that. As a matter of fact, I composed a letter immediately to the editor, and I also sent a separate letter to the publisher. And I'm challenging them, and I'm going to make them, one way or another, put in all the facts and the truth about my lecture that I gave in Palm Springs last Sunday. They did not cover it at all. I mean, they basically did everything they could to make me look like I didn't know what I was talking about, did not furnish all the details. It was yellow journalism at its best.
Well, you had, at one time, 700, Ted Gunderson, 700 men working under him in the FBI. 700 with a budget of $22 million. I mean, you know what you're talking about. And I was looking at your bio and just going through that. It's fantastic. And by the way, the exact quote from F. Lee Bailey is, Gunderson is a person whose investigative skills are unsurpassed by anyone. That means anyone I know or have known. According to F. Lee Bailey, that you are number one.
Well, that cost me a lot of money to get him to say that.
Yeah.
I
take a look at the anti-terrorism legislation, and that's exactly what it is. After the Reichstag burning, Hitler said, we must transfer this power from the people to the president, to the Fuhrer. And Clinton was talking about transferring this power to the president so the president would make a determination as to what group was politically correct and what group was not. And, of course, he would have the police powers, and any two people conspiring to have a militia to protect themselves from the power of a Hitlerian government could be arrested and put in jail for a minimum of 10 years.
Well,
that's insanity.
There's a recent bill that's been introduced by Senator Biden that will allow the government to take sovereign citizens, put them in jail without a hearing, in secret closed sessions, and if no country will accept them, they'll be in there for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. It says here, this would allow the Justice Department, headed by Janet Reno, she reminds me of Herman Goering in Drag, you know, it's just... associations of suspects. That would put all opposition to the president in jail, just like what occurred in Nazi Germany.
And yet the American people are not aware of this by and large. And it's unfortunate because where are they receiving the information about what's going on in this country? They're receiving it from the mainstream media.
I was excited to get into the mainstream media and says, look, why I am not to blame. The plot, cracking the Oklahoma conspiracy. And they go to the plot, Tim McVeigh or Lee Harvey McVeigh here, into they talk about this manhunt takes the investigators inside the mine. They've convicted the man already. There's no trial, but he's convicted. Inside the mind of this man and into the paranoid world that shaped him. Then they go on to these other individuals, the Michigan connection, because the militia there is opposed to the crimes of the president. Then to the journey throughout the United States, and then into, again, the crime scene. And then the fellow holding the dog. I mean, they really know how to milk this. I think about it all the time for the rescue workers, too, the awful memories, and you go through the whole thing. Then they get into friendly fire. A couple of guys wanting to get their picture in the paper consented to hold up some sort of semi-automatic rifle and an American flag. Thanks, guys, for that. Then covered on the right flank, and then blame the bombers only. The President of the United States is blaming those who oppose the President of the United States for inciting some sort of bombing of the federal building. And this is all supposed to have taken place because these people are in opposition to the government. This is absolute insanity. And I keep going over the pieces. Then they say, Time Magazine. This is the Skull and Bones publication. Time, how dangerous are they? Oh, boy. And then we get into the picture of the little child with the teary eyes, you know, like one of those old teen pictures, a moment of silence. And if that doesn't, you know, get all of the mothers of America, nothing will. Then they go on from there to more children and the people crying at the funeral. They are milking this. And Clinton, the President of the United States, is milking this as if he were to tit on a cow. And this is a massive media event. Then he goes into the accusing stance here with the pen, and then to blasting G. Gordon Liddy, who simply said, you know, if the guys are coming in to kill you, and they're coming in with a black mask and hobnail boots and fully automatic weapons, don't let them do that. In other words, if the Gestapo is in to get you, fire back. Then they get into an article, a political interest by Michael Kramer, Why Guns Share the Blame.
And then he talked about his group of psychologists that he interviewed here, said that those individuals who were throwing sponges at a clown, right, were more inclined to throw more sponges at the face of the clown with a gun in sight. So that guns really, just the mere sight of a gun, aggravates the event. So that guns somehow are guilty for, or the possession of guns, or the Second Amendment is responsible for the bombing at Oklahoma City. I mean, this is absolute insanity. And then they go into enemies of the state. So these people are really enemies of the country rather than friends of the country. And patriots awake, I love my country, but I fear my government. In fact, Ken, I think it was stated, I think, by Jefferson. He said that we have liberty when the government fears the people, and tyranny when the people fear the government. And I keep going on in these stories, and they get into the militia and the great threat, the power of all of these people. They get into Gordon Call, Waco. They are demonizing the patriots. They are demonizing. Here is another picture of this. This guy is sort of a clown here, Norman Olson, commander. He allowed them, Time magazine, to take a picture of him with all of these bayonets coming up so that they can demonize him. I mean, this is... Joseph Goebbels would have been proud. Joseph Goebbels, this is Adolf Hitler's propagandist, would have been proud of this type of political propaganda. If you subscribe to Time, drop it. In fact, Life magazine says, we don't take sides, we just take pictures, which is nonsense. And again, U.S. News, they're armed. Are they dangerous? The radical groups that hate the U.S. government and what they fear. And then it gets into the heartbreak, and they go into G. Gordon Liddy and the president again, and the manhunt and the twisting of all of this. And then guess what they do? They go to the babies, and then right on to the next event, they go to white power, an epidemic of fear and loathing, and they go from, of course, from the white power to the Klan, and then over to the patriots again. This is pure, unmitigated propaganda. If you believe that the CIA, the ISA, and Clinton and company had nothing to do with the Oklahoma massacre, then you probably believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the sole and exclusive killer of John F. Kennedy. Ted, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It is obviously an attempt to convince the American people that they must surrender their sovereignty to a new world order. Now, you've got some documentation here which you need to get to the public. And if for the next, 10 minutes, you can just bring this out.
Well, let's not leave the news media yet.
Yes.
As I said, I think I said earlier, I mean, they were in the almost beginning that there were two detonations, yet they still haven't printed it. And the FBI not only has ignored it, they've said it's not true, it's a lie. Let's talk a little bit about the bomb itself.
So you're saying that the agency that once was telling the truth is now telling lies.
No, there's a difference of night and day between the old FBI and the FBI today. I mean, they're putting out this as a fertilizer bomb. It was not a fertilizer bomb. It was a two-detonation barometric bomb. And in fact, the technical name for the bomb, it's an hydrodynamic gaseous fuel device. And the way it works is the first bomb is detonated. And it's detonated through PDTN. By the way, that was found on McVeigh's shirt, mm-hmm. PDTN. And PDTN is a device. It's described as a high-velocity explosive used as a primer in initiating the charge. It is high-speed, very sensitive, and used in small amounts. PDTN is not readily available to the public. McVeigh had it on his shirt, by the way. So the bomb is first detonated with PDTN as the chemical that blasts it. And then seconds later, and by the way, that lifts a chemical cloud into the air. And then seconds later, the second bomb is detonated with PETN. Now, PETN is a higher in velocity than PDTN. It is standard and readily available to the public. But as PDTN and PETN were both used in the bomb, and both have been found on McVeigh's clothing.
Now, I talked to a munitions expert who said, in no way did a bunch of local yokels put this thing together. That bomb sheared off concrete, straight up. And the ammonium nitrate bombs, according to him, is used by the government to knock holes into the ground so that they can knock out a bridge or something of that nature. And if we take a look at TNT, it has a velocity of about 2,500 feet per second. This thing, you say, has a dual explosive device, which would, in fact, shear off this this building.
And I've been in contact with somebody that's on the scene, by the way, and involved in the investigation. And just let me tell you what this person has told me. He said he's involved in the investigation. He stated the Oklahoma City bombing on April the 19th, 1995, was with a dual charge. Now, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Had it been ammonia nitrate, or the fertilizer bomb, there would have been nitric acid clouds, and none of the workers would have been allowed in the area without breathing apparatus on. He advised that John Doe 2 was vaporized by design. McVeigh is also a throwaway. He stated that the debris field was collapsed toward the crater. There was something inside the building, probably another bomb, which would account for the massive destruction.
Well, they said that there was two bombs, that they discovered two bombs, and we haven't heard anything about that.
Well, then, there were two detonations, and then they found another bomb on the third or fourth floor. The first day, we didn't hear any more about that.
Well, if they found another bomb and we haven't heard anything about it, that means that whoever did this was working from the inside rather than simply driving up in some Ryder truck or a pickup truck or something of this nature.
I think there's a good possibility that the truck was used as a decoy and the actual damage was done by bombs planted on by the bomb on the inside, and the other bomb on the inside did not go off, and if that had gone off, it probably would have leveled the whole building. But he also said that it was a drop and shear charge, and the investigators have looked for signs of ammonia nitrate on the pillars and the posts and in the debris. They have not found any. He stated that I am, quote, 100% end quote, correct in my deductions and in my investigative efforts.
Now, his position is what?
He's at the scene. He's working on the case.
He's working on the case.
He's a criminal investigator.
And he's a criminal investigator, and he says that?
He says that it was a two-detonation bomb. And he furthermore says it was not a fertilizer bomb.
It was not a fertilizer bomb that took the building out, but yet it could have been a fertilizer bomb out front as a decoy.
Well, I think that it wasn't a fertilizer. It was a barometric bomb out in front and inside is what I think. The people at the scene, they're supposed to have experts there. They would know this, but they're releasing this fertilizer bomb theory. I think the reason they're releasing the fertilizer bomb theory is because it's very obvious McVeigh et al., John Doe 2, would not have access to a bomb with this technicality.
Now, all the while this is going on, the dollar is hitting new lows. It's collapsing even against the Mexican peso. And, by the way, if you believe that the Mexican government, probably the most corrupt government in the place of the planet Earth, is going to pay back a single solitary cent that Clinton loaned them, you'd probably have to believe that the John Birch Society is going to make Mike Tyson their next poster boy. This is outrageous behavior on the president of the United States. I mean, it boggles the human brain. You say this individual worked and is working.
Is working
currently.
The scene, yes.
On the scene.
Right.
And you have known him from in the past when you were in the FBI.
No.
Or you've known him.
No. He came forward as a result of one of my radio broadcasts.
What do you have to say to the public of the United States? What do you think that we can do, other than simply exposing this? Should we not take this tape and bootleg it, make copies of it, and get it to the world press?
Of course. but I don't know that the world press will do anything with it. However, there was one of the radio shows I was on out of Montana. I've been on about 15 shows in the last 10 days, by the way. And the host called me back the next day and said that the demand for the tapes on that show are unprecedented. He's never had demands like that before. In fact, host after host have told me that. They called me back and said, I've never seen had a show like this in my whole career. People have been on the air for 25 and 30 years. And in fact, in the Montana case, one individual, a businessman in Colorado, ordered 200 tapes to hand out to his friends.
Well, if we reach the people, if you reach the people who reach the people, and at the end of the show, you're going to see at the bottom of the screen how you can get tapes of Ted Gunderson and myself on KDNO. We did a broadcast out of Delano in Central California. We're going to be doing more broadcasts around the country. If you get the tapes and you send it out to, let's say, the administrative assistant of a congressman, the administrative assistants will play the tapes. I don't believe the congressmen are going to open the package. They rarely ever see them. But if you reach the people who reach the people, the talk show hosts, the alternate media in this country and throughout the world, we can and will make a change. Now, if it is exposed that the president or the CIA or his agents did in fact pull this thing off, do you believe that any of these magazines like Time and U.S. News and World Report will give it any play or publicity? Because they have absolutely crucified the militia, just like the like Caesar crucified the Christians in the Roman Colosseum.
No, Kawhi, they haven't reported the two detonations. They haven't reported the fact that it's illogical that the fertilizer bomb was used. Have you seen one real bomb expert interviewed by any of the major news media?
None.
Zero. None. You know why? Because real bomb experts will tell you what I'm telling you, that this does not exist. You know, there's another point that I'd like to make, and that is that they're encouraging and asking that new legislation be passed, anti-terrorism legislation. I have with me the guidelines of the current guidelines of the FBI in investigating terrorist acts. These guidelines are more than adequate to investigate what we have any potential acts in the future.
Will you say that right into the camera?
Yeah, these guidelines here are more than adequate to investigate any terrorist group, domestic or foreign, that comes into the United States. There's no question about it. I've reviewed them. I haven't had an opportunity to review these in 15 years. I reviewed them just the other day. They just would work perfectly. There's no problem with it. There's no reason for any new legislation.
President Clinton is calling on the Senate to pass tough anti-terrorism legislation. Lawmakers were expected to vote on the issue after the Memorial Day recess. Mr. Clinton is appealing to them not to delete three provisions some senators oppose. They include broader federal wiretapping authority, chemical tags for explosives, and the involvement of the military in certain cases.
I noticed that Buck Ravel, who was working with Ollie North at one time on the Iran-Contra, he was liaison with Ollie North, is lobbying for new terrorist legislation. Buck was number two man in the FBI at one time and was subsequently an agent in charge in Dallas and has since retired last October. As a matter of fact, I was invited to his retirement party. Buck worked for me in Philadelphia when I was number two man in the Philadelphia division. But Buck is lobbying for more anti-terrorism legislation.
Well, they're talking about a police state. So Buck is lobbying for a police state.
I would have to say so, yes.
If we were to have the transference of power from the people to the president, would there be anything significantly different today than what occurred under the Third Reich in Nazi Germany? Would there be any significant
difference? No, we're going into a fascist state. The way things are going, the legislation that's been introduced, as I said earlier, House Rule 666, Omnibus Crime Bill, where they can indiscriminately conduct wiretaps of whole neighborhoods. Look back at the history and look at the last 10 years, what's that? We've mentioned earlier BCCI, Iran-Contra. Look at the savings and loan fiasco. Look at all the people that lost thousands of dollars over that. I think that one of their goals, of course, is power and greed. But one of their goals also is to establish a two-class society, the ultimate rich, and maybe 1%, and the rest of us all poor and slaves.
Well, they're collapsing the U.S. dollar. The stock market is making new highs. They're giving most favored nation status to the communists who have some 7,668 death camps at my last count, some 23 million incarcerated for slave labor. There's an attrition rate of 25%. That's 5,750,000 people die annually in those death camps. And it's rumored that some of those people don't always have a nice day. And they make those little toys and little things that you get for your family and your kids at Christmas. It is insane to support the communist regime that out-Hitlered Hitler at the height of his hysteria just because the president and these political pimps and prostitutes along the Potomac suggest that you do it. And the GATT Treaty allows for them to import slave and child labor product. That's right. That's what GATT does. The GATT trap is just exactly that. It is treasonous, and it forces all children being born into these United States to have a mark, an identification. And you talked about Lee Harvey McVeigh and his being implanted. I have here one of the little transponders, and this is this little baby here has been injected into the U.S. military. It has been used by the military. I was lecturing at the Waioli Tea Room in Honolulu, and I was shaking this thing and saying, "This is coming." I look out there, and the guy said, "No, it's not coming. You're wrong." I said, "Excuse me. I've got the needle. I've got the injector. This is the transponder that's being used for all the pets leaving the pound in Los Angeles. This is the Hughes Advanced Traffic Monitoring System, the new VIN number they're going to put into the cars so they can ID those via scanners going down the highway and give you a ticket. And this is going to be put into people." He says, "No, it's not going to be. It is used now." And he told me the story where he had dug one of these out of the shoulder of one of his friends in Honolulu. This is being used now. McVeigh is complaining of this being used
in his buttocks.
In his buttocks. And if we go to Guantanamo, all right, they are now using these. And this is the equivalent of a slave bracelet on the blacks and browns that leave Cuba and then are brought back and incarcerated. And they simply put they rivet these things to their wrists, and for the children, and we'll show you a picture of that, have them riveted around their ankles. It would be almost like having a slave bracelet wrapped around your neck. The citizenry will literally be unchained. And, of course, I think it was Hitler who was suggesting that all children have a mandatory vaccination at birth. This is criminal. In Dr. Anthony Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, he fully documents that Adolf Hitler was financed from Wall Street and Washington. This was done so as to create an enemy that we could oppose, an enemy that we could defeat in order to bring about a new world order. And the propaganda that came forth under Hitler is like the propaganda we're having today. The same people that backed Hitler are backing Clinton. It's the same game. It's the same scenario. Do you see a similar, really, I'm talking about an exacting similarity between what happened in Nazi Germany in 1933 and what's happening in the United States of America in 1995.
What's taking place today, I would say, parallels without any question what happened in Nazi Germany in the 30s. There's no question about it. The incident was created, anti-terrorism legislation, greater restrictions on our freedom and liberty, eliminating some of the rights under the Constitution, It's right down the line. Take the guns away from us, the whole nine yards.
Well, in 1935, I think Adolf Hitler registered guns. 1936, he registered Jews. But yet, the ADL seems to be coming out and putting out misinformation and disinformation. The government says that it can't release any information, but yet they are sifting it out through the ADL, are they not?
Well, what's happened here is Clinton came out, didn't make a public announcement for, what, 5 to 7 hours? He should have, and he was in a meeting with the ambassador from Turkey, I believe, or the prime minister from Turkey at the time. He should have immediately dismissed that and gone on the air, I think, and showed some real concern and care for the situation. But he said, don't jump to conclusions. We cannot release any information because we have to worry about preserving the evidence, right? So in the meantime, we're supposed to do that, and the government's not releasing any information. Yet, somebody in the ADL has access to McVeigh because the ADL is releasing information to the effect that McVeigh had a business card on him from Spotlight, which is one of the publications out of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's like saying, well, O.J., when he was involved in this crime, had a copy of the L.A. Times. Of course, the L.A. Times would be guilty, right? I mean, they must have inspired O.J., and we had gone from the O.J. to the O.K. Incident. The media is simply gobbling this all up. The mass media certainly has not convicted O.J., then how could they possibly go out and convict Lee Harvey McVeigh? I mean, does this make sense to you? I mean, the people that are being convicted, the groups that are being convicted, are those who are opposing the government. This is so obviously.
Being targeted, certainly.
They're targeted.
Yes, Spotlight is a thorn in the side of the Clinton administration because they tell it like it is. It's the magazine out of Washington, D.C. It's a weekly, by the way. And by the way, I'm on the front cover as a result of some of the work that I've done this week. They've targeted the militants. They've targeted the radio talk show hosts.
And they're targeting the black Muslims. I saw the Savior's Day speech by Farrakhan. And about an hour and 40 minutes into it, I looked up and I said, my God, he's got the message. And I think that there isn't an alliance between the Patriots and the black Muslims. There certainly ought to be. Because we're talking about the same oligarchy of evil that's doing it to, you know, causing them problems and causing us problems. It all comes together. And there's a great awakening that's happened as a result of Farrakhan's teachings. And I'm very happy about that and openly seek some sort of alliance because this is not a confrontation between white and black developing in this country. This is a confrontation between those who would surrender the United States of America to a global government and those who would prevent us from being surrendered to a global government. You have this statement, and it's important.
Well, I think that just about covers me as far as, you know, something else is kind of interesting.
Yes.
I don't know if I covered it earlier or not, but the FBI called me and interviewed me. And I put this facts out about the double detonation and about the barometric bomb and so forth on the 26th of April. And 2 days later, the 28th, I received a phone call from an FBI agent, and he wanted to know if he should distribute this to other field offices around the country. And actually, he just wanted to know what my address was and so forth. And it was very obvious to me. I have information about the other information about the sensitive information about like a child kidnapping ring in the Midwest where they were taking children out of private schools in Omaha, driving them in private vans to Sioux City, Iowa, flying them to Washington, D.C. for sex orgy parties with congressmen and senators. Now, that's important. I'll tell you why. Because then they blackmail and compromise the congressmen and senators and they tell them how to vote. So that's part of the plot. That fits in real well.
Now, we have talked with an individual who is a former sleeper agent in Operation Monarch. And that individual has stated that they saw McVeigh. They saw McVeigh, and McVeigh was part of this program. Have you talked to that individual?
No, I have not. I tried to contact that person, and I've not received a return call. They're probably like me. I'm receiving 60 phone calls a day for 10 days. I'm looking at 600 phone calls I have to eventually answer. I probably won't be able to get around to answer all of them. But the point is, this is not something that just occurred. This has been planned over a period of years and years and years. I mean, it's designed to compromise these congressmen and senators with 10, 11, 12-year-old boys and girls, because then they got them in their hip pocket. This is all very well planned and very well organized.
Now, to keep this ball rolling, would not the government or those who control the government, the evilarchy, the fascists, the financial fascists that control this country, try to provoke or create an incident between the militia and agents of the government in order to slam dunk this leftistlation and shove us into the New World Order?
Well, what I'm worried about is another bombing, which would just be about all we need for Congress to go ahead and act and pass some anti-terrorism legislation.
And today is, what is it, the 8th, the 9th of...
May the 9th.
May the 9th. Could you be facing another terrorist event, another American Holocaust committed by the president or his political cronies within the next week, month, year? You need to demand an investigation. You need to reach out and touch. You need to start thinking, and you need to stop subscribing to Life and Time and Newsweek and start watching those individuals like Ted Gunderson, who's telling the truth. I want to thank you for watching Impact. The ball is in your court. The rest is up to you.
Everything that's happening here in America today happened in Germany in the 1930s. Everything. What happened? When the election results came in and Hitler did not have the power that he thought that he was going to accumulate, he burned the Reichstag. When he burned the Reichstag, he blamed it upon all of his political enemies, rounded them up, and Germany was in his power literally overnight. Same thing's happening today.
Comparisons. Nazi Germany. Berlin. The Reichstag, 1933. The United States of America, Oklahoma City, 1995.
It seems to me, Tony, that it was a carbon copy probably of what took place in Germany. I mean, I sensed it right away. I heard other comments since then too that explained the Reichstag and how it was planted and how it was positively planted by the Nazis. And so then Hitler could come to power and say, look, we have to take care of them. And I remembered. I also remembered, and I can't give you the quote directly, what Hitler said, that finally, here we got a civilized nation, and now they don't have any of the guns, and isn't a wonderful thing that we have done. That's a poor paraphrasing of what he had said, but that's the point. So you're right. I can. And then when we finally heard that there were three bombs that were placed, and two detonated, one didn't detonate, and so forth. It's unbelievable, and we can see with me here. How they're turning on our militia, and how they're turning calling us a right wing extremist, and we got it to them, and they're yeah, I get so upset. It's hard for me to think straight about it because I get emotional.
You see some comparison between those who control our government today and those who control the government under Adolf Hitler?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The bombing to me is the exact same thing as what happened in 1933 in Germany. The Reichstag fire, which was set to tighten up everything and take total control, same thing here.
And how about the legislation that you see following that Clinton is asking for? Is it similar to what Hitler asked for? Is that what you're saying?
Identical. Some of it's word for word from what I understand. And I've actually heard some of it's even worse, if that's possible.
The Reichstag burning in 1933 and the Oklahoma bombing in 1995. Are they similar?
Exactly similar, unless there's another reason I can think of why they're not. And I, being racking my brain, I don't see any reason why they're not similar, because there's a great beneficiary for this incident. You know, so it's like an accident in an insurance policy. Somebody dies, somebody collects. And they're collecting.
Hitler is a great orator. Bill Clinton is pretty good himself. Do you see Bill Clinton as America's Hitler?
No, not really. I find it hard to believe that he understands or really has the insight into what's taking place. I believe he's a tool for other men that are using for their purposes. I believe he's basically a spokesman. I don't believe he's an idea man.
On the back page, we also publish what you won't see in any other newspaper, the seismograph from the Energy Center of the University of Oklahoma City in Norman. And down here, the seismograph from the Omniplex in Oklahoma City, close to the blast site. Both of these seismographs, by the way, we got there just in time, because the FBI seized these seismograph reports shortly after we obtained them. What you see on both of these seismograph reports are two explosions, not one. Proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Witnesses also report two explosions, not one. But you don't see that in the press, because they don't want you to know it. Also in our research, every explosives expert we talked to said ammonium nitrate will not do the damage that you see in Oklahoma City under any circumstances, no matter how you shape it, no matter how many pounds you have. Ammonium nitrate is a cratering explosive or a pushing charge, much like black powder. The coroner's report, he seems to be the only one telling the truth, says that most of the survivors were near the north wall. That's the front of the building. They weren't blown in. The front of the building wasn't blown in. They were blown out through cinder block into the street, and the whole front of the building was blown across the street into the building across the way, which means that the major explosions that did the most damage were inside the building, not in some rider truck parked outside, which, by the way, they just can't ever be original. The story's always the same. World Trade Center, yellow rider truck, ammonium nitrate fertilizer. Oklahoma City, yellow rider truck. Why is Ryder a rental company of choice for terrorists? FBI and BATF employees, except for clerks, were not in the building.
All out of the building.
First time that anybody can remember that they were all ever out of the building. The only agent who was killed was a Secret Service agent. Guess who he was? He was the only one who wasn't told to leave.
Right.
One of Bill Clinton's bodyguards. How many does that make?
Eight.
Makes a whole bunch.
Terry, you've seen on television, as millions of people across this country have, the second American atrocity committed during the Clinton administration. You've read the magazines, you've seen the books, there's reams of information. Who did it? Or the bottom line, I mean, who do you think is responsible? Is it Timothy McVeigh and some right-wing extremist, or what's your analysis?
Well, my analysis is, first of all, I think it's a tragic event that bombing had to occur, or did occur. The media has portrayed it to be white supremacist, etc. My opinion of that, if it was white supremacist that was responsible for it, that they would have bombed a synagogue or a mosque. So that, to me, leaves out the white supremacist. All the evidence that I've been reading and the information that I've been receiving seems to be pointing back to the government as being the one that's responsible for that bombing.
I think America today has a general distrust of government. And when somebody even suggests the possibility that government may have had something to do with it, I do think that there's an inclination of a lot of people in America that are going to wonder. And that wonder is probably going to be bent against the government.
Is this the same government that dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki after the Japanese had asked for conditional surrender?
Well, the question was asked one time, you know, should we believe the government? Well, I pose the other way. Has the government ever told the truth? And you can go down through history and you'll find time and time again, the government has always lied about everything of any substantial consequence in America. And we've witnessed this. And I think that one way or the other, the truth is going to come out.
The bombing at Oklahoma City, do you think this was done by some group of patriots or some, like a loner, like Lee Harvey Oswald?
Or? Oh, absolutely not. I never thought that for one moment.
And what do you figure did happen there, and who's responsible?
The minute I heard about the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, the first reaction I had without even any conscious thought was the federal government. It was just an automatic, like when you kick your knee, it just goes in. It was there for me.
You mean those who control the federal government?
Absolutely.
And who benefited from this?
Who benefits from this?
Yes.
The federal government, the Fed. I know that they've been wanting to get this anti-terrorist bill passed for quite some time. And the way they do things is that they create the crisis, and then they get the American people all in chaos and believing that, oh, yes, save us, save us, save us. We're on our knees, and please help us. So it works for them, and this is what they keep doing. And as long as they keep doing this and it works, they knew that they could not abolish the Posse Comitatus Act without finding a reason and a justification for this. And the only way that they can do that is to create the crisis. And when they do that, then the American people will come back and say, help us, save us. So I'm real clear on it. I've never thought for one second that it had anything to do with, just a weirdo or a wacko or a talk radio or any of these things.
So this is Ordo Ab Chao, order out of chaos. That's their program.
Well, I don't think it's order out of chaos, but just keep chaos going. And while the chaos is going and the American people are starved, in other words, they create the crisis and will tell you that, gee, we have to stop the crime. The crime is rampant. It's terrible. We have to stop this terrorism. And golly, what we need is this. And the American people say, yes, yes, help us. And, you know.
They're goaded by the media, right? And the media is managed.
Oh, absolutely. Not even a doubt in my mind whatsoever about that.
I find that hard to believe that one truck could have done all that damage. That seems totally implausible. Some people tell me that they believe the government or factions within the federal government did this. I find that hard to believe too, but it seems like they're the only ones that are benefiting from this right now. It's good PR for them. It's a good chance to run things through Congress that would have never gone through before.
People in the... Should I say this?
Yes.
In the government. That's who I think did it.
We have seen this bombing occur immediately after the introduction of the Clinton Omnibus Counterterrorist Act of 1995.
Well, this is just, I feel that there are going to be more Oklahoma cities or equivalents.
Is the government and the managed media propagandizing the people like Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler did in
Germany in 1933?
Without a doubt. Absolutely. You cannot get anything except OJ on the majority of the stations. With everything that's taking place in this nation, and the only thing we have to watch is OJ? I mean, come on.
The problem that we are faced with is that here we have the government doing their own investigation. If they are responsible for it, we'll never know the truth, just like in the Kennedy assassination.
In other words, you're saying that the primary suspect, the prime suspect in this case, which is the President of the United States and Janet Reno, are those who are in charge of the investigation?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Do you know in the crime bill that it's illegal to store food for over 6 months' supply? What are you going to do with all the Mormons that store food? Are all of them now criminals? It's the confiscation laws where they can take fertilizer. I mean, this was set up long before Oklahoma City took place. Everything has been known that was going to take place, and people are not so stupid that they don't understand it. Public Law 7277, which turns the power of the Army, not only of the United States, but of the Soviet Union, over to the Russians. I mean, over to the United Nations. When you can call the Presidio and get the Gorbachev Foundation and know that Mikhail Gorbachev is instrumental in closing our military bases, we got a problem.
I'm amazed. I will talk about I will talk about Waco, and I will understand when they said the kids, you know, we had 19 kids we killed in Oklahoma City, 17 were killed at Waco. No one seemed to care about that, and when I talk about Waco, I get comments like, they deserved it. What do you mean they deserved it? You know, a five-year-old child deserves to be you know, incinerated to death like that? What did she? And by the way, what was the charge? What was the Waco charge? And you know, I mean, what's wrong with us? I mean, why aren't we Americans thinking straight? It's beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me. And we talk about compounds. Waco wasn't a compound. It was a Davidian church. But you know, you leave it to the press. They call it a compound and a cult. It wasn't a cult. It's a religion. And Corish, he used to walk in town all the time. He was liked in the town. They didn't really dislike those people. They were minding their own business. And what was the charge? My point is that, and forgive the rambling, but I get so upset about it. I get very stimulated. And I can just see that people they've been so brainwashed, they just have no understanding whatsoever what's taking place in this precious country of ours. No understanding whatsoever.
I think it's curious that the night before the bombing, all of the BATF and federal agencies were moved out of the building as assisted by building management and as attested to by building management. So when the bomb went off on April the 19th, there were no federal agencies, especially BATF, in the building. And I think it's also curious that the Waco massacre investigation paperwork was in that building. And it's pretty obvious, I guess, to all that the bomb blew outward. When you look at the building, the pictures of the building and the footage of the building, the bomb blew outward, not inward. So the truck didn't blow it up. The bomb, the second set of bombs was inside, as attested to by University of Oklahoma seismographs. I think it was 9:02:04 a.m. and 9:02:14 a.m. The second set of bombs went off in a very tightly controlled series of explosions about 10 seconds after the first set. I think it's curious that the media is keeping this undercover, under wraps. Let's talk about it. How come?
Yes, sir, I'm back.
In 1974, the English introduced a law called the Threat Prevention of Terrorism Act. They were having trouble getting the boats, and a bomb went off in a village in Ireland, killed 33 people.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Every time they introduce one of these things, something like that happens.
They had the boat and it passed.
Yeah.
But before that happened, they didn't have the boats, and I just wondered if you had any comment on that. It's been proven of late that that was an MI5 operation too.
What I believe is that what happened in Oklahoma City wasn't the product of a couple of deranged people. First place, deranged people can't think that logically, keep a secret for that long, and pull it off that well. Not only that, but the extent of the damage, according to experts, and I mean experts, our biggest expert that we've talked to, that we talk about in this paper, is a brigadier general retired in, I'm not going to tell you what service he's served in, but he was in charge. That'll be printed in the next paper. Once we know that that is distributed far and wide, then he can't be hurt. So we can't reveal his identity just yet. But it will be printed in the next paper. He was in charge of the explosives research laboratory for one of our branches of the armed services for 26 years. He has experimented with and supervised the production and implementation of explosives and bombs for his whole career. He educated me personally into what happened in Oklahoma City. First, he said there was at least two explosions, one outside the building, which produced a crater and probably nothing more than a few broken windows. He said it did not have to be in a Ryder truck or a truck at all. It could have been in a car. Nobody really knows what it was in. They say it was in a Ryder truck. But strangely, the guy who just delivered the UPS packages to that building and left at 8:58 on the dot said that there was no large vehicle of any kind parked in front of the building, and the bomb went off at 9:02, 4 minutes later. Now, whether somebody had time to park a Ryder truck or any kind of a big truck that they say that the bomb was in those 4 minutes is subject to debate. But he said that the columns in the building, and there are four rows of 11 columns each. These columns are huge columns. Steel reinforced concrete, which he told to me is called a hard target, which means you can't explode a bomb in the front of the building and bring those columns down. They're hard targets. He said there had to be at least one other explosive in the building of a type that could direct its energies to the base of those columns and bring them down, because they all came down leveled at ground level. Now, because they were leveled at ground level, he said that the only way that that could be done is if individual charges were placed to go off at the same time at the base of those columns. They could either be satchel charges or what he called, well, they are cutting charges, but that's not the word that he used. Shape charges is exactly what he said. So, and there it is. At least two bombs. No doubt about it.
How far apart are the explosions?
According to these seismographs, there's about 10 seconds. Could be 8 seconds, but no more than 10 seconds. All the witnesses there report they heard two distinct explosions. The press isn't reporting it. The government doesn't say there was two explosions, but everybody who heard it said there was two explosions.
I saw a TV interview with this guy. I saw it on TV. The guy pointed it out on TV.
Yeah. So, you might want to ask the communist news networks, why are they hiding these? Why are they hiding the witness testimony? Why are they hiding the fact that a fertilizer bomb could not possibly have done any damage? I believe that what happened was the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany when they burned the Reichstag. Who benefits? What does it promote? Tyranny. If this omnibus counterterrorism bill passes Congress, they can say the Constitution Party is a terrorist group, round us all up and throw us in jail. Now, you think that's really something? They could do the same thing to the Republican Party and to the National Rifle Association and the Boy Scouts. It gives the president dictatorial powers to name any group he wishes, with no parameters whatsoever, as a terrorist organization. Without review. Suspends habeas corpus and a lot of other things, which is exactly what Hitler did. He burned the Reichstag. He named all of his opposition political enemies as the terrorists who burned the Reichstag, rounded them all up, and took over Germany. And since the Reichstag was burned, there was no more Congress. All in one fell swoop. And I'm telling you right now that Comrade Clinton is fixing to do the same thing. Yes, sir.
What's the status of the Conference of States? Where's that at now?
The Conference of States is dead, and I'm going to tell you who killed it. It was the Hour of the Time and the Constitution Party.
Bottom line, who benefits?
I think the government does, and Clinton, since H.R. 390 came out in February, the counterterrorist bill, which calls for complete dictatorial powers for the president to decide who is a terrorist and who isn't, without any due process, habeas corpus. They can literally take you off to jail without anyone knowing about it and declare you a terrorist.
Is this American Reichstag?
Yes, yes, no question about it. Yes, it is. This is it. No question about it. Honest to God, it's almost as if President Clinton had his speech all orchestrated, like he was all prepared, because it came so quickly after this bombing. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yes, it is. And there'll be others. There'll be more violence too. I'm sure of it.
If there was one individual in the United States who has benefited more than any other from this, who would that be?
Well, I would say it's definitely President Clinton and Janet Reno.
Who does this serve? Does this serve the purpose of the New World Order? Does this serve the patriots? Does this serve the American people? Does this serve the militia? Who does this serve? What does it serve? And it's very easy to figure out. It's not about difficult. And if it works to progress to the New World Order, which is the real goal of what's going on, then you kind of narrow the field as to who's in back of it and who's promoting this. And how they're doing it. I have absolutely no doubt at all that this serves the New World Order, because I really believe that it's a question of taking the money from the American people and getting rid of it and getting us down to our knees. I consider America to be the last bastion of freedom, of liberty, and in God we trust.
Our enemy is a common enemy, regardless of where you're coming from. We got the same enemies. If you're a far leftist, unless you're one of them, we're liable to be sharing a cell someday. So we better...
Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you. And remember this. If they can get away with this in Yugoslavia and Kosovo, they can get away with it here.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Draw out your arms. Things get more masterful. We're here for the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. If you've got a complaint, think of the facts.
Get out of this house. Surrender your guns. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to go home. Down to the doorstep and do what you're told.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan.
Pike said Lucifer is God across this land. And Clinton saying hit the mark in your right hand. While we're all dancing to the drums of uproar bright, Clinton's preparing it for another huge tax hike. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, creates a panic and rape the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white program agitation.
Don't wait there. Here's the rumors. By the UN in white and blue. The ATF of men in black of the one world order.
But it's not new.
Doyle, if you're listening, you better get up here. We've got a perimeter breach right now.
Black projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID.
Get a job.